This is the M-Bomb Effect. M-Bomb.
Look at this guy. What the hell happened to his eye? He looks insane.
Omen.
I will tell my son this. You better make sure she comes.
Ghost.
It's like going back to Comtex with a Tomb Raider.
Austin Dash.
He eats you alive. Have you not seen Mermaid?
Andrea.
He called her over to use her body to masturbate himself.
Streaming live from YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and TheMBombEffect.com. The M-Bomb Effect starts now.
What is going on? Welcome to the M-Bomb Effect. I am your host today, M-Bomb, here live in studio in the ROC. Baby! I am here live with none other than Dustin from Ghost Media Entertainment. How are you doing, my dude?
Doing good. Doing wonderful. Just relaxing. My son's over there staring at me, smiling, because now he realizes what's going on.
Oh, yeah? So,
dude, you want to come say hi? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, come get him.
We're going to get a guest appearance today.
Hey, the more the merrier, man. We're always having fun here on the M-Bomb Effect.
Oh, you don't got to bring your popcorn. But yeah, we're just chilling at home, packing. We're doing a lot of packing this week. We've got a big move coming up. So
okay. Yeah, you have a lot of things going on. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day where I'm obviously going to have to tone it down, but I'm looking forward to the day where my son is going to be on with us. It'll be cool, man. I mean, it'll be a different, element, but it'll be cool. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we've got Zelda, our 9-year-old. She's on every single one of our interviews that we do with Ghost Media Entertainment. She's got her own little project going. It's a lot of fun when you get the kids involved. I tried to get my teenager involved. He's 15. He was 14 at the time, but all he wanted to do was sit there and play on his phone. So 9-year-old, she gets in at nitty gritty. She's got her own little notebook, stays by the computer.
There you go.
Interview questions.
So she's already on top of it already.
Yes. Yes. She does a wonderful job. Yeah. This is her interview question page. She's got all kinds of drawings and a picture of our cat that she drew. Like, she gets bored. She's a 9-year-old girl. Like,
right.
But she gets involved.
That's
she
the key part.
So much fun. And the best part is when the bands involve her and they ask her questions and they make sure that she's comfortable. That's when she really gets going. So it's a lot of fun having her on.
Oh, my absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that aspect. You know, hopefully, you know, maybe our kid might be interested in it. We'll see. But that's years away from now. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand, you know, August 14th is the due date. So I'm already, yep. You know, we're slowly but surely getting there. It's already, we're at 14 weeks now and my wife's been pregnant. So it's interesting, man, for sure.
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Congratulations. I saw it was a baby boy, right?
Yeah, man. Thank you.
We got a name picked out and everything.
Sure do. Yep. We sure do. I don't know if my wife would want me to announce it just yet. I don't know.
Don't.
I better ask for permission on that one. It's a, you know, it's a team effort here, so you know how it is.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I can be patient. I know how it goes.
I know.
I got five. I know.
Yeah. Know. Well, you gotta work together, right? That's how it usually works. You know, I've been on your show, which is cool, man. And I figured we'd reciprocate the favor here on this show here on the M-Bomb Effect. I know you're not always used to being the guest. I know you actually were in studio guests somewhere locally in your hometown or where you're at now currently. I saw that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was fun. Sticky's Cabana. We love to shout out Sticky's Cabana, Columbia, Missouri. So this venue, I'm falling down. This venue is called Sticky's Cabana in Columbia, Missouri, like I just said four times because I got distracted.
It's all good.
But yeah, they are a do-it-yourself venue. So what he did is he lives kind of out in the sticks, and he decided one day after trying to book some bands to our local venues and stuff and how he was being treated, he just decided to do his own thing. So he built a stage behind his house.
Oh, really?
Stage, stage is probably like 20 by 15 or something like that. Big enough to fit a five-piece band on the stage, but a lot of the guys like to come down on the ground,
like
a vocalist, and a lot of times the bassist or whoever really wants to be there will stand on the ground and they'll play a show. They have an awesome sound system. Their lighting guy does an amazing job. But this year is his first year that we were able to actually book bands that were from out of state. I think he's got like 10 or 15 from out of state this year. I think he's going into the third or fourth year, I believe. Usually he pops in on these things.
Yeah.
And corrects me when I'm wrong, which is often. But yeah, he's doing amazing things for the local community, and now he's getting some national attention from local bands who just want to come out and play. They just want to be in a different area, do different things. And but yeah, he had me and Zelda on because we were a sponsor last year out there at Sticky's Cabana. And you know, he's a good friend, you know.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Like, we just love hanging out with him. So it was, we didn't even have to think twice about him inviting us out there.
See, that's awesome. Super fun. Yeah. And that's cool, man, that he's actually, you know, invited you and all that. He's doing all that stuff. So there's a lot of different venues here in the ROC. I've actually thought about, because actually when I was down in Missouri this past fall, I was, there's my buddy Jukebox Ginger. He's got a whole bunch of different things going on. He's a host of his podcast, Stardom, and all that stuff. And we collaborated in person, which was crazy. And we did it at a place called The Sandbox. I don't know if you've ever been down that way. It's over in Kansas City, on the Missouri side. But
No, I've only been to Vivo Live Events in Kansas City. And then we went to the Azura Theater, which is on the Kansas side.
Okay.
Oakland Park, which is Azura Amphitheater. It's an outdoor, huge outdoor venue.
Yeah. Well, this was cool, man, because we hooked up. They allowed us to stream there, and we got to talk to different people and kind of like ask them kind of different questions and all that. And I thought that was a pretty cool element to add, especially like, you know, just trying to spice it up, try to do different things. And that's what I'm all about. Like, even if it's like one-offs, you know, I don't care. Like, we'll do different things and stuff. But, you know, it's cool that you are able to take that into control and like use that so that way you can, you know, benefit each other from it. You know what I mean? Like, so like that way you guys, you're there, he's there, it's out there.
Yep.
I don't know if you see that, but there's like a comment on here. It's like spam. And I don't know why we keep getting that sometimes. It's a very big distraction.
I did. I'm on that full screen. So
yeah.
See anything. And I've got Facebook pulled up. We've got some people watching. Well,
Annalise.
One person.
Yeah.
Yep.
Annalise says, "Hey, what's going on, Annalise? How are you?" She says, "Dustin." And then she said, "Congrats to me, M-Bomb." Yeah, she's great, man. She's in New York City. She's always tuning in now ever since the episode I had with Reinhold. He's great to have in studio. Love that guy. Perspectives is a great band. So Let's talk about what you've been doing. Excuse my voice. I've been kind of dealing with some congestion and all that stuff. Sunday night, I did not feel the greatest. And so still coming down from that wonderful thing there. Felt great Saturday. Sunday, I was a little congested. I was like, man, I sound like garbage. I'm like, hopefully. Yeah. Well, needless to say.
Stay healthy throughout the rest of the week when I start my training next week.
Yeah, dude, you gotta keep healthy, man. Today it's 64 degrees here in the ROC, New York, and it's like we've been dealing with the high and low. You know, we've been kind of getting high, low, not good for the body. But needless to say, though, let's talk about Dustin. Let's talk about Ghost Media Entertainment. Where and when did you decide that it was time to make this happen?
Yeah, so what really happened was there was a band coming out of Kentucky. They're no longer together. There's a lot of controversy around them. So I'm not going to mention their names or anything like that. But they were a band that I followed quite closely, and I really enjoyed talking to the band members. And this was before, you know, before I even thought about starting Ghost Media Entertainment. But I would talk to them often, and I'm like, bro, I need you guys to come out here to Missouri. I would love to see you live. I can't afford to travel out to Kentucky to watch a show or hit one of your tour stops or whatever. And they told me, you know, find us a promoter, find us a venue, and would be more than happy to come out. So everybody that I reached out to, they were, you know, to put it frankly, they were just jerks, or they didn't respond to me at all. So I just figured I'll do it myself. Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, so what, you know, I think we all understand, if we all kept in the loop here within the last 7 months, 8 months, I think we understand the band you're talking about. We don't need to name them. With that being said though, like, that was your pretty much kickoff point though, is where that led to.
Yeah, pretty much. So what I did is I reached out to as many bands as possible, and I kind of picked their brain.
Yeah.
I had my list, because this was brought up the other day. Oh, it's on the floor. And I want to shout these guys out. I just used my toe to pick up my notebook.
Hey, that's multitasking.
Yeah. But I do want to shout these guys out, because they gave me a lot of information, and it was wonderful. Where did I write it down, though?
Uh-oh. Lost some notes.
Well, when we first got started, this notebook I used for pretty much everything. So we did a vocal competition out of Michigan. I gathered, I think it was 14 vocalists, and we made brackets.
Oh, my God. Look at that thing.
Everything that they did, and that kind of... It worked out wonderful, but at the same time, it could have been a lot better.
Well, but you know what, though? It's not bad, though. You got to start somewhere, right?
Right. Well, I've got it here now. It's on the very first page. But yeah, Dalton Collins out of Kansas City, Missouri. He is with... I don't know why I'm blanking.
Uh-oh.
He's gonna kill me if he sees this.
He's like, oh no, this guy. How dare this guy forget our band name?
Yeah, and I love the band. My brain does this though.
Hey, you know what happened to me the other day, man? It's okay.
Anyways, Dalton Collins. I didn't write it down because I should know the name of the band, but he's out of Kansas City. He gave me a lot of good connections out there in Kansas City. He gave me a lot of good bands. Dreams in Peril.
Okay.
The name of the band. Out of Kansas City.
There we go.
He gave me a lot of good information. One of my favorite people that I talked to so far, when we first got started, that gave me advice was Alfonso Seville from Heartsick out of Michigan.
Okay.
That dude is just if you need to know something in the industry, he knows it.
Okay.
Wow. He knows everything. He's very intelligent. I mean, they're Heartsick is a band that, they're a do-it-yourself band, and he does literally everything from marketing to graphics to literally everything, from what I understand. But he gave me so much information. I probably filled up 4 or 5 pages. But we also have Wayne Ortiz from Of the Fallen. He gave me a lot of good information. Brandon Hartman from Let It Rot. Damian Gibson. He was formerly with Bloodlust Media, but he started his own promotion company, is Dead Fish Productions, I think it's called. And then apparently I'm saying her name wrong, but I call her Tamara. Apparently it's Tamara.
Oh.
From Black Crow Productions as well. So I picked all these people's brain. You know, the biggest questions that I asked were, what are bands looking for? I can't talk today.
It's okay, man. We're all a mess here.
My water or something?
My voice is messed up. You know, that's happening. It's all good, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I asked them what they were looking for as a band out of a promoter. I asked them what their typical contracts would look like when they do use promoters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you know, the biggest things that I asked them were, what changes do you want to see? What can I do to stand out from other promoters? And they all gave me some really great advice, and I just kind of ran with it.
Yeah. And that's just it, though. Like, this whole thing, like, I know we all have our different things. Like, I know you mostly focus on bands and music, which is great because you need those kind of shows. You need those kind of podcasts around because, like, don't get me wrong, we have that side too. Like, we have Rock Hard, which is a show that we do with bands in or out of the areas, which, you know, I have no problem doing a remote guest band for Rock Hard and all that. That'd be cool. But, you know, we dive into other stuff. We talk about the dark side of society. We talk about social media. We talk about media, video games, movies, et cetera, et cetera. We talk about everything. You know, that's just how it is. And I was on the stream with the musical Misfit just a couple weeks ago. She's great. Jade's great. I love Jade.
No, I love Jade. She's like my music equivalent to a best friend.
Yeah.
She's one of the first people I connected with, and, you know, that relationship has just grown. It still grows to this day. She's such a sweetheart. Her husband's amazing. You know, she does so much for the community, music community, and, you know, and her heart's out there. You know, Jade's one of my favorite people. So
yeah. Now, with that being said, what was your first show? Like, what? How long ago was your first episode?
So the first one I did was with Tom Kiley from Patient 67. I did not know what I was getting myself into. It was like 24 minutes long, and we just rushed right through everything. It was just question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. And that was probably, I want to say, what month are we in now? We're in
February.
So this would have been, we started in April. Probably the end of May, beginning of June of last year.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. I knew it was something I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to interview bands, but I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know how to do back and forth and just kind of relate. And, you know, I was more thinking, this is an interview, oh man, I can't mess anything up, less than, this just needs to be a normal conversation.
Right. Exactly.
Fangirling and just talk. So when I interview bands today, that's what I tell them. I was like, this isn't an interview. We're just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any questions written down. I ask a few general questions, and then we just kind of carry the conversation from there. And it depends on how the band reacts. You know, if they're question and answer, then I've got to try to pull some personality out of them. And that's what's good about having little girl with me, Zelda, because she is good at pulling personalities out of big, tough, giant men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got guys that like Nathan Explosion from Metalocalypse, and she just knows how to tame those guys.
She does. It's insane. She does such a wonderful job. I'm so proud of her.
Nah, man, that's awesome that your daughter's involved. She's your co-host, and it's amazing that, like, I hope I have that bond with my kid. I hope that they get interested in this, and maybe they'll want to do some stuff like this too. Again, obviously, we'll have to tame it down because, you know, I don't know if you're used to our show, but our show gets a little off the walls, especially this past couple weeks. But yeah, it's like seeing that, though, that fire in their eyes when you see your kid go, wow, dad, what do you got going on here? You know, what's all this stuff, you know, and like checking out all the gear and all that. And then you like start slowly just kind of get them into it. I'm kind of excited for that. I'm hoping that that's what happens. But you never know. Maybe they'll have a different outlook, and maybe they'll have different wants and needs for hobbies. But it's pretty cool to see that you do this with Zelda. And it's amazing that, you know, she gets in on this, has her own questions. And you know, has her own gig at that point, which is cool.
Yeah. She has Zelda's World of Music. It's kind of a slow going project. She does get to interview the guys from Envision tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
She'll interview them tomorrow. We'll record it. She doesn't do anything live. We might actually do it live this time.
Would that be a first time for her?
It would be a first time for her by herself.
Yeah.
But I mean, I sit right there and I kind of feed her questions because she's scared of doing it by herself. So she just kind of, it's new for her. It's right. Like when I started out, you rush through things. She kind of needs daddy there to kind of guide her.
Yeah.
And I'll have to see what she thinks, because we were supposed to do a competition tomorrow, but I could not set aside the amount of time that I needed to kind of fully dig into it and give the viewers the full attention that I could. Right. I only have about an hour or two instead of two to three hours. So we're doing the Deathcore Disney competition that was supposed to air tomorrow on our Twitch, but we moved it to March 16th.
Okay. Yeah. So like you were explaining how your first episode went and how your first interview went. My first interview was this. Okay. So I had these dynamic mics. These are different mics. They're like the, I forget. But anyways, I had the phone held up to the microphone. Terrible way of doing this. Now, mind you, this is 4 years ago. This is back in 2019. And it was a buddy of mine who was a local rap artist, and we did an interview, and it was kind of like a crash course of how to get my face smashed in and feeling like garbage and how to not answer or ask questions right and all that. And, you know, it's like, okay, it was the same thing. We didn't actually, like, we had a conversation, and I thought I did okay at the time, but if I go back and watch that now and re-listen to it, it's going to be like, wow, that's terrible, especially the way I was holding the phone to the microphone and doing the interview. Now, we have a board. We have phone lines, official phone lines. it's a lot better, obviously. And it's actually lined into the thing to actually come to the listener now in an appropriate manner. Unlike holding a phone to a microphone. But we all learn slowly, or sometimes we get the gear right off the bat and we just figure it out right there and then. But I started out with minimal, you know? We didn't have the most expensive equipment. And then a little bit after moving into my house here with my wife, I was like, it's time to get a little bit real about this. Let's set up an actual studio, get the gear. Let's make it happen.
For sure. Yeah. I've got my MacBook, a Logitech camera, and actually this microphone. I've got the case by my feet too. It's a TC777 by Toner.
Okay. Ooh.
This was actually a gift from the Musical Misfit. When I first started talking to Jade and I told her what my intentions were and that I wanted to start doing interviews and stuff, she actually sent me this stuff. She got me a cool pair of headphones that I rarely use anymore just because of the fact I always have Zelda with me during these times.
Right.
And right now I need to be able to hear if the little man is getting into trouble. But,
always.
but I do use them sometimes, you know, when it's just me and I need – you know, to kind of focus.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, it's just that when you wear these monitors, it's a whole different element. You take them off, it sounds completely different. You put them on, it's natural now. And not for nothing, but I know some guys that like to sit like this. They're able to hear the raw sound that's coming out, and they like to hear what's happening in here. It all depends for me. I usually just keep them on when I'm doing the show. But it's a preference, right? But you know, again, gear. We started doing this with just the speakers and a laptop. It wasn't the greatest, you know. But going forward, it's like, but you evolve, you know. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, though, like it's not about the gear. It's not about any of that stuff. Yes, it has a part of it, but what it is though is like how you present yourself. How you ask the questions, how you drive the conversation. Now, the bands don't care what gear you have. They're happy that you're there and have this platform to talk to you and be able to talk about what they do. And there's a lot of different things that we talk about. And, like, yeah, we'll ask the questions. We'll also ask them other questions. Like, An Easy Death, they were on just last week. That was fun. That was really fun. And they had a blast. And it's nice, though, to hear their feedback. You know, and I'm sure you hear it too. Like, yeah, you know, you got something good going on here. And that's what we need in this world. Like, don't get me wrong. There's podcasts out there that have been around for a long time. And look at Joe Rogan. He started back in 2009. And look at him now. He's got millions of followers. Granted, he had Fear Factory fame. Don't get me wrong. And he had UFC fame. But he kept at it. Nobody knew him about his podcast. They're like, oh, Joe Rogan, the UFC guy? They didn't go, oh, Joe Rogan from Joe Rogan's podcast. They never did that. Now, here he is. So you just got to keep at it, man. It's about consistency.
Oh, for sure. Dad, can I show him my thing? You want to show him your car?
Oh, he's got a car?
Yeah.
A little vroom vroom action.
Okay. You can show them, but then you got to go back and watch Bad Guys.
Ooh, watch that in theaters. Not a bad movie.
You gotta hold it up.
So get a little, you can see it. There you go. You got a little car. Does it make sound?
Nah.
No?
Just a little
pop it will. Control. Oh, it does now. See? It makes noise. See, it made a sound.
Okay, go on.
That's awesome.
He just wants to be on camera.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
But that's how you get them started, though.
There you go.
They enjoy being on camera and being goofy and weird and doing whatever they got to do. You know, that's what started them.
Yep.
You know, that's what I like about Zelda. That's why I love everything that she does with me, is because not only is she learning a new skill at 9 years old, in doing interviews and just having conversations, this is setting her up for life.
Yep.
You know, I never had any of this stuff. Okay. Get up on the bed. I never had any resources like this growing up. I mean, you know, back then, in order to get on the internet, everybody had to be off the phone and it made a lot of noise.
Yep.
But this wasn't even a thing back then. It was just radio shows. That's about.
Well, that's just it. You know, radio shows, that's kind of also what inspired me to start. I, you know, listening to a lot of radio shows, you know, or podcasts, talk show hosts and stuff like that, that I followed throughout the years. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, you know, radio, unfortunately, isn't as big as it was. Podcasting has kind of taken that form now. It's not really, people turn on their car radio anymore and listen to, like, I don't know, Bob and Tom. I mean, right. How long has Bob and Tom been on? They have a laugh track on there from a guy who's not even alive anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but don't get me wrong. There's followers of that show. They listen to the show religiously still to this day. It's no problem about that. But also you got podcasts now, which opens a whole element of surprise, because now you have, like, if you want to learn about murder mystery, or you have like crime podcasts or comedy podcasts, you can do whatever you want. Or you have the podcast about music, like you got, like Musical Misfit has. Or you have like things that we have, which is a mishmash of everything. And you just like feel like you're hanging out with part of the crew, you know? And that's what we try to offer as podcasters. We try to offer that element of, you know, we're not only there to just entertain you, but we also have some factual things that you might not know about. Maybe there's some weird news stories and whatnot. Or there's a band that you never heard of that you might fall in love with.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that's why we do what we do, you know? It's all about bringing these bands, putting them in a perspective of, okay, so the way I like to explain it is, we take the bands that we listen to daily and we put them up on this pedestal, right? And we're like, oh my God, they're amazing. They're talented. And I just love them so much, you know? And we idolize them. And the whole point of doing these podcasts is to kind of knock that down a peg. Not saying they're not talented or they're not good at what they do, but they're human beings. They're just like us. They're just like me and you. They get up, they go to work, they have kids, they pay their bills, the whole nine yards. They're human beings. And that's what I love about doing these shows, is because it kind of brings them down to our level. And, you know, people don't realize that they have a life outside of music.
Right.
You know, like we'll talk about Rihanna with the whole, her career and the Super Bowl halftime show and stuff like that. She was showing off that baby bump, you know, that was her baby announcement.
Yeah, basically. You know?
She has a life outside of music.
Yeah.
You know? And 9 times out of 10, these bands they're just so excited to talk to somebody and just talk about life and be weird, just normal. And instead of being roasted and, can I get your autograph? Can I do this? Can I do that? They just want to have a conversation. And that's what I love about doing everything we do, you know?
Absolutely. We add that element of humanity, right? like an easy death right now. They say, love what you all are doing. Pour one out for Harambe. Yeah. You know what? I got to say, Harambe, RIP, we talked about him last week with an easy death. Yeah, that was a crazy moment. You know, I asked him. I said, what do you think Harambe listened to before he unfortunately passed away? And they said gunshots. And I was like, yes, more than likely. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, you know.
Screaming child.
Yeah, well, that too. And everybody's freaking out. You know, everybody's like, oh, my God, in a panic. But yeah, going back to Rihanna, right? So everybody's up in arms, and I feel like it's because people cannot believe, for whatever reason, that she's a human being and can actually get pregnant, right? Because, you know, it's like, I remember going to a show, and now Smile Up Your Soul, you heard of Smile Up Your Soul, right?
Yeah.
I've listened to them for so many years, a little over 20 years now. I got to see them for the first time back in 2010, and my ex and I went to a local venue here, Montage Music Hall. We went to go see them. And as the openers and all them were playing, we saw Sean Danielson, we saw Ryan and all them. They were standing in the middle of the crowd watching the show. And my ex was like, oh my God, we got to go see him. I'm like, can you? We'll see him. Don't worry. We'll see him. And like, we went to go see him. And let me just tell you, those guys are down to earth. I could tell they were a little shy, but we were able to take selfies with them, you know, at the time.
Right.
And it was cool. It was a cool experience. But they're human beings. They're not just like you said, you put them on a pedestal, but they are human beings. We all are. Like, we're all doing our thing. Like, I just watched a video of a professional wrestler. Her name's Liv Morgan on WWE. There was a video of her going through the airport, and they had all these guys just shoving things in her face to sign. And I'm like, that's disgusting. Leave her alone. Yep. She's just trying to live her life, man. Like, let her get on the plane, you know?
Exactly.
It's craziness.
Well, it's like there was a show we went to. So Zelda loves telling this story. Her very first concert, she was 5 years old. Bad Wolves Asking Alexandria Papa Roach. Okay. So we end up meeting this guy. And anytime we bring kids to the concert, we push our way to the front and then we go off to the side because we know there's not going to be crowd surfers or anything going on. Kids aren't going to get kicked in the head. Security is aware that they're there. So it's just like the safest place. Especially for people who love music like we do, and we rock out hard when we're at a show, right? So we meet this guy, and he goes, oh, by the way, I am the cook for Papa Roach. Anytime they come to Michigan, I cook their food. I bring it to them. If you guys want, I can get you back to see the band tonight. And, you know, the kids were tired, and Jacoby was tired, and blah, 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 blah. And so that didn't end up happening. Because he went and checked, and he's like, not today, blah, blah, blah. So he said, the other bands, I can show you where they exit from. They're staying at the hotel across the street. If you want to hang out for 20 minutes, half an hour, I'm sure you will run into some of them. Well, so we went out behind the venue. This is 20 Monroe Live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we ended up running into Dot Coyle and John. I forget John's last name, the drummer for Bad Wolves. So Doc is a guitarist, I believe, and John is the drummer. And we hung out with them for like 30, 40 minutes. And the coolest part is they noticed Zelda in the crowd when they were up on stage.
That's
and they
awesome.
Kept pointing, awesome. Pointing her out and stuff like that. And we didn't realize it because we're just out there having fun. And so we meet up with them and they're like, oh my God, you're the little girl from the front row. And they were so excited to meet her. And that's like her first time meeting any rock star. I guess that's my first time really either meeting any sort of rock star like that before. And they were just so down to earth. They were excited to see us. And that's at that point, you know, they kind of realized that they're human beings.
Yeah.
You know, that's what really started my attention towards that. You know, I didn't get into this until years later.
Right.
But that was her first show. That was one of her first experiences in the music industry.
It's amazing, man. I still remember my first show. Avril Lavigne, Buffalo, New York, HSBC Arena. Well, it was. It's not there anymore. But anyways, yeah, I remember my first show. And it's not like I actively listened to Avril Lavigne like that. You know, I thought she was amazing. I thought she did a great job at all her songs. But I'll tell you what, her performance live really gave me more respect for her like in her ability to perform live, to do the songs. She even played the drums. She messed up one time. Didn't even phase her. Did not phase right. that lady. She just kept on going. And I was like, that's what you got to do. You just got to keep on trucking. And she did. She kept on playing like it was no big deal. And, you know, everybody, you know, didn't make anything of it because the show was great. And not for nothing, but some people will always kind of dog on a band. Maybe they don't sound like an album, or I don't know. You know, just if they don't sound like the album, sometimes it happens. Maybe it's an off night. You know, my voice doesn't sound like this all the time. It sounds like garbage today. Whatever. I keep on going because I know it's Saturday. It should be better. But, but like I said before, though, like you just keep on trucking. You're not always going to have a good night. I saw a couple bands. I was like, they could have been a little bit better. Right. But then like, I think it was Hollywood Undead. I think the first time I saw them, I wasn't too impressed. But then the second time I was like, okay, you know what? That was really good. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I've seen them a few times. They're pretty good.
Yeah. See? Yeah. So it all depends on the day they're having. Everybody's got to understand, like, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You know, maybe something's going on that they play off. Who knows? But point being, though, is those first time moments can leave a lasting impression, just like our shows. Yeah. You know, can leave a lasting impression.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that, to add to that, when you go to a show and they're on tour, what part of the tour are you on?
Right.
Are you on the first leg of the tour? Is this the very first show? Or are you the last show? You know, they get tired.
Oh, yeah. You know, it happens. Like their voices get strained. It's going to happen, especially if you got a metal band out there screaming almost every night. Your voice can't handle that continuously and be the same quality as you did the first show. It's going to change. And not for nothing, but sometimes these guys do get sick on the road, and they're going to probably not sound the same, and maybe they're sick that night you go see them. Who knows? But to judge that band, be like, oh, they suck, don't go to them. It's like, you got to understand, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes things happen. Now, is there bands out there or artists in a solo career that purposely are garbage? Like maybe they did it themselves because they're too addicted to certain substances, or maybe they have a drinking problem. And look, it's going to happen, right? Stone Temple Pilots, huge. Unfortunately for them, their singer, original singer, was doing that all the time. Maybe not even showing up to shows on time, or if at all.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, fans get tired of that stuff and go, wow, that band really sucks. And it's not fair to the band. They put in the effort, and it's because of one guy. See, that's not right. But
well, look at, I don't know, I don't remember the name of the movie now, but the movie they did about Motley Crue.
Right.
Everything they were doing. It was nothing but, you know, when they say sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that's all it was.
That's all it was, man.
They were talking about going to bed at 7 a.m., waking up at 4 and just getting high and not even remembering last night, you know?
Exactly.
That was their lifestyle. And unfortunately, there is a lot of, I don't know how many bands out there now, but there's a lot of bands that went through that. I mean, look at Korn. Brian Head Welch, when he came out and quit the band and started his own project and became a Christian and all that stuff, he really dove into everything that they went through. And some of the stuff they were doing was just insane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not a lifestyle that you can live continuously for a very long time.
No.
You know? At some point, you're going to break.
Right. And that goes for anything, man. I mean, just think about it. You know, your body can only go so long, right, doing these hardcore partying, the hardcore drugs, the hardcore alcohol. It's like a car. You put on the miles, obviously things are going to break down, and eventually that car is going to go in the junkyard. The faster you run that thing into the ground, the faster it's going to be in the junkyard. And it's going to keep happening if you put yourself through that every time. And not only that, but now you have the touring, the travel, right? You got the travel. That's going to put some miles on you. You got the shows themselves. That's going to put some miles on you. Our bodies aren't meant to handle all that hardcore stuff every single time.
And,
you know, you got to take care of yourself, right? You got to at least take care of yourself at a point and be like, okay, listen, I'm going to stop this. You have to stop it at some point. Otherwise, you're going to burn out. How Ozzy Osbourne lasted as long as he did and retired just recently, I have no idea. But the man just miraculously came out of it fine unscathed. I mean, I shouldn't say unscathed. The guy's got a lot of health issues. But needless to say, he lasted a lot longer than a lot of other musicians that died in their 30s, 40s, even 20s. You know? But I give that man credit. He still put up a fight. He still went out and toured, and it didn't matter to him. He still did what he loved. Granted, he did a lot of drugs and all that other stuff. The man still did it.
And I'm sure there was a point where he's like, okay, I'm done doing A, B, and C, but I'm going to continue doing, you know, D, E, and F.
Right.
You know, he might have gotten off of the harder stuff, but kept on to the not as harder stuff. Not that, you know, there's any drug out there that's acceptable, but, you know, it was a lifestyle choice that he made.
Right. And it's like an easy death from Rochester. I mean, look at those guys. Every time they go out for garbage plates, like right now, they just admitted the garbage plates are just too delicious. We can't help ourselves. And and then they said Ozzy is the definition of built different. Well, he was built different, and the guy was just a monster in the rock and roll field. He did what he had to do. He was, you know, doing a line here, and then he was biting bats heads off over here. You know, he was doing it all. He was killing it.
Right. And we've seen a lot of this lifestyle just even in local bands, and we've gotten to a point now where we're advocating for sobriety.
Yeah.
We've got a group of people that I've recently connected with. We were planning on doing like a sobriety spot on, you know, for Ghost Media Entertainment, kind of like for the podcast and stuff like that. We still want to do it. It's just a matter of time and resources and stuff like that, getting everybody. But anyways, you know, just recently, February 1st, I vowed to quit drinking alcohol.
There you go, man.
You know, I'm trying to help all these people out, but I'm still having a drink on the weekends when I go out and do karaoke. Like, in my conscience, I could not continue. Yeah. So I just stopped. Yeah. You know, they don't see me every day. They don't know whether I am or am not drinking. And, you know, I'm over here saying that I'm not. But in my good conscience, I know if I'm going to help these people, I might as well join the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't want to see people waste away. We want to see people grow and have positivity, you know, not 9 times out of 10, but, you know, a good percentage of the time when alcohol is involved or any other sort of recreational drug, it's mind altering.
Yes.
And people get into depressive states. They use alcohol and the drugs to cure their self-diagnosed depression instead of going to see a doctor or reaching out. And that's something we want to advocate getting away from.
Yeah.
We want you to be sober, happy, healthy. If you want to deal with your demons, we're here to talk. We can help direct you to the right person to talk to. You know, but we're always here. So, I mean, that's something that we've been pushing for the last couple months now. So,
no, that's good though. And like, we drink on the show, we drink responsibly. And so I didn't really start getting into drinking until like when I was like 22, 23. I just never got into it. Right. And even to this day, I drink here and there. Like, you wouldn't even know. I have a little Stella Artois in here. It's just one beer. Right. But I don't go drinking when I'm feeling depressed or angry. I just don't even, first of all, I don't feel like it. But I know people like to keep it as a crutch. Now, look, the first thing to do is admit you have an issue, right? A lot of people can't do that, unfortunately. I look at it this way. If I already have an issue, right? If I'm depressed, if I'm angry, if I feel like everything's falling around, apart around me, why would I want to take a drink? The only reason why you would want to do that is to probably try to clear problems away, right? But it doesn't happen that way. It actually amplifies the problems. So if you knowingly cannot control your alcohol, I would probably say, please don't do it. Please don't take that sip. You know, if you can't control it and it's going to affect your life in a negative way in that aspect, like, you know, it's this hot summer day, right? You're outside, maybe have a few beers in the backyard, having a barbecue. That's one thing. If you're drinking alone and you had like a half of Jack, maybe a couple shots of tequila, and you're just sitting at home watching whatever comedy show you're watching, I think you got a problem, bud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Alcoholism runs in my family, so I didn't... You know, I don't want to get to that point. That's right. That's where I'm coming from. Because, you know, I would crack a few beers open at the end of the night after work.
Right.
And I would be drinking by myself. I mean, my wife was in the bedroom, but she doesn't drink.
Yeah.
She does, but, you know, not recreationally, but like socially.
Yeah.
You know, if we go out with friends or whatever, she'll have a drink. We went out for Valentine's on Monday because we did it a day early because I had to work. And she had a drink when we went out to dinner, you know, that's okay.
Right.
You know, I don't have an issue with that. But at the same time, the people that I work with, go ahead, buddy, go. The people I've been working with, they're drinking so heavily that it was every night and they couldn't walk. They stumbled, you know, and it's just, if I'm going, like I said, if I'm going to sit here and help you,
right.
You know, I don't want to be drinking a beer while I'm on the phone with you.
Right.
It just doesn't feel right to me.
Right.
So not that I ever had a problem or anything like that, but it's more of an advocacy thing.
It's like, a personal choice.
I want to help you. So I'm going to make this life choice as well and kind of be like your sponsor and do what I need to do with, you know, there's two or three people that still reach out to me today. Hey, yeah. I'm thinking about having a drink. My brother Noah, he had a bad issue there for a while and he would call me every time, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd be sitting drinking a beer while he's telling me about his problems, and it's like I can't do that anymore.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just it's on my own conscience. That's all it really is,
dude. That's just it, man. You're doing it for the right reasons. I commend you for it, man. You're doing the right thing, you know. But at least you know you yourself don't have a problem. You're just making that personal choice. Hey, listen, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's the best thing to do.
Well, it used to be bad. When I went through my divorce and then when I went through my breakup with my fiance, my last relationship, I would drink a six pack. I would smoke weed. I would take pills and I would be falling on the floor.
Oh, man.
And I didn't know how I ended up in bed and the whole nine yards. But when I got custody of my kids, my whole life changed.
Yeah.
That all changed. You know, I had to stop what I was doing. I realized mistakes that I was making. So I've definitely been in their shoes.
Right.
But not, you know, that was a short period of time.
Yeah.
You know, because I always pulled myself out of it. But some of these people, they can't.
No.
They can't pull themselves out of it. You know, they don't feel like they have the willpower, or they don't feel like they have any really reason to.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, that's just it, though. Like, I just had a friend pass away last year, and I was friends with her for so long. It's just, I think about her a lot, especially recently, you know, more so recently because we're having a kid, right? And I could just imagine her reaction if she heard us tell her that we were having a kid in August. She would have been ecstatic. And I think about, because unfortunately she passed away from addiction, right? And
yeah,
it just, if you're going through addiction and you just think it's just affecting you or that it's something that you just have to face on your own, it's not true. You have to reach out. You know, you just can't sit there and think that it only affects you. It affects everybody. And the same thing with suicide. We have a lot of different times on this show where we talk about mental health awareness because it's important.
I think we got into this when you were on my show too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, you got to understand, like, if you unfortunately die tragically due to suicide or addiction finally caught up to you, there is going to be so many people that are affected that you have no idea how many people are going to be affected. It's going to be a domino effect. You really got to think about these things. Like, it's that important. And like, not for nothing, but we all get to a low point in one way or another, whether it be a mental health crisis, or maybe you do have an addiction problem that's going on. You got to understand, you're not the only one that's going through it. you don't have to go through it alone. So please reach out. There's different services out there for you to go to, and you have a family and friends. And if unfortunately you don't have any of those, again, there's services out there that'll help you. You just gotta reach out.
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons why I advocate why I've been advocating for sobriety is that, you know, I've seen people go downhill, and it bums me out. There's nothing I can do except be there. And 9 times out of 10, I'm so far away from them. All I can do is make a phone call. If they answer, they answer. They don't, they don't. You know, so that's why, you know, I've been advocating for sobriety, but also on the same note of the mental health and suicidal thoughts and all of that stuff. You know, I lost my mom when I was 14 years old to suicide. So living my life and seeing how it affected my life and those around me, we're big advocates for that too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want anybody to have the life that I had as a teenager, you know, as an adult, you know, even. It's not good for anybody. No. The worst part is people who are suffering from depression and suicidal thoughts and all of those things, they don't get to see, or they fail to see because of the depression, how amazing they really are.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, she was all state in golf. She was all state in volleyball. This little 4'9". My mom was 4'9" or 4'10" or something like that. She was tiny.
Yeah.
And she went all state in volleyball.
That's pretty impressive, like, man.
2 years in a row. You know, if you know anything about volleyball, you're looking at tall people, because you got to be able to reach over the net. Her jump was high. You know, she was a drummer. She could play guitar. You know, she was all state for percussion, you know, in high school. You know, she had a lot of amazing things that she did. She taught. She was a parapro at our school, so she was around children a lot. She coached softball and baseball and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, looking back, you know, the aspects, I really miss those aspects about her, because she was so involved in our community. Nobody knew there was an issue.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest part. You know, we were kids. We didn't know what signs look like. We don't. You know, I can see them now because of helping so many people out. But like, if you're going through that state and you just feel like you want to give up, you know, reach out to Ghost Media Entertainment, shoot us a message, let us know, you know, what can we do to help you? If you can't get a hold of one of us, dial 988 on your phone. It takes you to the suicide hotline. But ultimately, reach out. Sometimes it's easier to reach out to a stranger and say, this is what I'm dealing with. You know, an acquaintance, somebody that doesn't know you well, that's, you don't know, that's going to judge you. Your family, you know, may be a little bit more difficult.
Right.
That's why those hotlines exist.
Yes. Well, that's the same thing here. The Unbalm Effect, you can pop us a DM, you know, slide into our DMs. You can give us the email, you know, theunbalmeffect@gmail.com. I would say call the lines, but we don't answer the phone lines when we're not live. So, but, you know, with all that being said, though, mental health awareness and addiction, do not hesitate to reach out. I know that we might be strangers here on these shows. Just reach out to one of us, Ghost Media Entertainment, The Unbalm Effect. Well, you know, I'm not an expert, but I know I go through my stuff. Like, seasonal depression's huge with me. But I got to say, though, the knowledge of having a kid in August, I think, kind of lowered that for me. Yeah, I still go through it. I'm still going through, you know, my seasonal depression here and there. But it could have been worse. It could have been like last year. It could have been like the year before. But it's a little different this year. And I'm hoping maybe it will change for the better when we do have our kid. And I'm guessing that, you know, it does change when you finally are able to hold your newborn in your hands, and maybe your whole lifestyle, maybe your mind will change completely. It's not going to be a complete cure, but it's going to help, you know. Annalise says, Dustin is amazing. She says, thank you for this. And then An Easy Death says, this is so important. And it is. And it'll always be important, you know. And that's kind of what we do on our show. Our show is pretty much an escape. We have dark humor. That's how we cope with our anxiety, our depression, and all that. I hope everything's okay over there.
You just fell off the bed. Get up on the bed and go sit still and watch your bad guys movie.
Oh, no.
We'll get lunch when I'm done. Okay. And then we'll go. And then we'll go bye bye. Yes.
To the house.
To Walmart.
Ooh, bye. Wally World.
Well, see, I'm very bad at gift giving. Terrible. Terrible. You ask my wife and she'll tell you how terrible I am.
I'm not that far off, man.
I always wait to the last minute and procrastinator like that. But we got talking and I'm like, I'm changing course. I hope that's okay.
That's fine. It happens a lot on this show.
So we were talking and you know, you need to go sit on the bed. Go on. He's starting to get antsy. But anyways, so we were talking and she bought me this bracelet.
Yes.
She has another one that's black and red and they're supposed to be like together bracelets. I forget what they're called.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be like a reminder that you're not alone and you know, who you're with has the other end and it's something cute and romantic. Right.
Yes.
And then I don't know. You can't see it now. It's all black, but I've got a brand new tattoo.
It's your new tattoo, man. I saw that.
I probably pulled the picture and show it to the camera, but
yeah,
you know, that was my birthday present and stuff like that. And like, I'm just absolutely terrible. All right.
There it is. Mickey Mouse. Oh. Is it zombie Mickey? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's hard to see. I mean, I wonder if I could turn down the
brightness. Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, now there we go. Now it's coming to fruition here. You got the zombie eyes and all that. That's pretty dope. Yeah.
Go watch your show. I'll show it to you again in a little bit. But anyways, so she does all these amazing things with gifts. She bought me a stand-up popcorn machine and
that's awesome.
All kinds of stuff. She bought me concert tickets to fit for a King show just because of the fact that my buddies were opening for them. Holofront was opening for them. And they're friends of mine. So she's like, okay, they're going to be 2 hours away. You're going to go and hang out with them.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So
man.
She does all of these amazing things. And like, I get her like a card and some candy or some flowers or a stuffed animal, you know?
Hey, man.
I'm terrible at it. So anyways, I took her out to dinner on Monday. We went to Applebee's and had some steaks and stuff, you know, and then we went to Cracker Barrel and ate some dessert. So I was returning my work stuff because I just quit because of the new job.
Yeah.
And then we ended up going to the movies and watching Knock at the Cabin Door. So I took her on this little date night. So that was kind of cool. But she's like, but you didn't give me a gift.
Ooh.
And I'm like, does that matter? She's like, not really. But, you know, why don't you get something?
Yeah.
She goes, I tell you what, the day after Valentine's Day, everything's going to be 50% off. I'm like, hell yeah, that's a good idea.
Get some chocolates. Gotta get some chocolate.
Yep. So we're going to go. You want chocolate?
Yes.
So when we're all done and after lunch and stuff, I'm going to give him a bath and we're going to go to Walmart and grab
a box of chocolate.
Something.
Chocolate. He'll be off the wall. He'll be bouncing off your walls, ceilings, everything else in between.
Yep, he does that without even eating.
Well, that'll amplify it, man.
There's no sugar in that, because I like that.
Oh, I hate chocolate.
Oh, he hates chocolate. You do hate chocolate? You don't like chocolate? No, I don't like it.
I like chocolate when it involves like peanuts or peanut butter or caramel. Yeah. And then white chocolate. Yeah, so like Reese's or a Snickers or something like that. But other than that, I can't do any plain chocolate. It's gross. Milk. And dark chocolate, and I know there's 100 different types of chocolate out there, but
there is.
I'm not a Daddy, fan.
Not a big fan.
You like white chocolate?
I do like white chocolate.
Yeah, white chocolate's not bad. I like those Hershey's cookies and cream with the white chocolate.
Yes.
That is amazing. Crunch used to have something like that back in the day. I don't remember. I don't know if they do it now, but Crunch used to have their very own rendition of that. Very good.
Go on. You can't have those.
Well, I gotta say, man, APB is out.
All Post Bulletin.
It's time for us to dive into some social media here with Dustin from Ghost Media Entertainment. And I don't know if you're really familiar with this, but this is where we kind of get a post from Reddit, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of them, all the above, every one of them, doesn't matter, but mostly Reddit, because for whatever reason, Reddit has the questions and we have the answers. We also have the discussions. So, with that being said, Was the nostalgia of other generations capitalized on like millennial nostalgia? So we have lately seen, we have seen 90s trends make a tribe, but also items that were popular back then return. Caboodles, the other day, I impulse, bought sugar cookies because they were Lisa Frank themed. All it was pink unicorn head and some blue stars. They were more blobs than stars.
Blue stars, oh my God.
They could have just been unicorn themed cookies, and I probably wouldn't have bought them. Has the same been done for other generations, or is this just us? I don't know, man. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like, yeah, absolutely. I think they do. I mean, look at the style changes and how it just kind of goes in a circle. Like bell bottoms came back in the 90s.
Yep.
And my parents were like, oh my God, bell bottoms are back. Like, this is crazy. And now we're getting into, right now, I feel like we're kind of in the 80s post grunge.
Yes.
With all the band shirts. And I mean, we got a lot of help from like that TV show, Stranger Things, with that one.
Yes, exactly.
But that is starting to come back. And yeah, I've been seeing some Lisa Frank stuff in the store too. And I was like, holy cow, Lisa Frank? Like, this is still a thing?
It is. You know? Yeah, it's been crazy, man, because like you see that stuff and you're like, wow, that's coming back. Like, I find myself like watching Bob Ross now as I'm doing work on my computer, and I'm like, I love this man. The guy is just, he's very relaxing. His paintings are amazing. He himself was a great person. He was very just a down-to-earth person. He knew what he was doing. He knew what life was all about, you know what I'm saying? Like, but like, I've also noticed, though, and I don't know if this bothers you, but I've noticed, like, 14-year-olds wearing Nirvana shirts and have no idea that they're even a band.
It doesn't bother me at all. Because eventually they're going to figure it out.
Maybe.
Someone out there is going to be like, yo, do you know Nirvana? You're going to get those gatekeepers. Yo, you're wearing a Nirvana shirt, name three songs. And they're going to be like, what does that mean?
Right.
But then it's going to be in their head, and they're going to check them out, you know? I think the biggest thing right now for me with my kids is my son got a record player for Christmas.
Oh, really?
So now he's buying vinyl.
Vinyl has made a comeback. Again, it goes with this Reddit post. You know, small things like that. Vinyl. People collect them. Yeah. They've been collecting them for a while. A band I listen to, Tame Impala. They have their vinyl. You know, you can go get a vinyl version of their albums, of his album, I should say. He's a one-man band. The guy does it all. You know, he's amazing. Of course, though, when he does tours, he has an actual band that helps play all the different music,
right.
You know, all the other instruments and stuff. But, yeah, I got to say, though, like, fashion trends from, like, 2009, 2008, I see that kind of coming back to certain things. Like, there's guys and women in their early 20s that are dressing like we did when we were in high school back in 2007, 2008. It's crazy. They're like, wait a minute.
Right.
And so, like,
I'm waiting for the haircuts to come back.
What's that?
Like the bowl cut.
Oh, geez, well, 90s. You know,
like, I mean, like, you know, mullets came back for a while.
They did.
So, I'm supposed to show you Mickey Mouse.
Oh, yeah. See, the Mickey Mouse. You got to have some Mickey Mouse in action here. It's the first time we've ever seen Mickey Mouse on this show, I think. I don't think we've ever seen him on the Unbomb Effect, but you just saw him now. So if that was your first time seeing him on the show, then the kids will say, what do you say, kids? They love him. They love him. Absolutely love him.
Everybody, you need to sit up in bed and watch your show. We're almost done, okay?
Can I eat lunch now?
Yeah, we'll go have an egg sandwich. Ooh. That is his go-to lunch, is an egg sandwich.
Egg every sandwich. Single
day. I thought we were going to go to a house.
No, we're going to go to Walmart. We already discussed this. It's even on the show. This is the second time it's been
brought up.
Go
back and listen to it after.
But yeah, egg sandwiches. That's like, well, first it was peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
We were on peanut butter and jelly kick. So I've been basically staying home with him since 2020.
Okay.
When his mom dropped him off at my door and said, I don't want to do this anymore, I quit my job. You know, I went on the unemployment that you go through, that you know, everybody really went through with COVID and all that good stuff. And I took my five kids in. We reevaluated our life and figured out what are the next steps? What do we need to do? So we went and fought custody and got full custody of all five kids. And, you know, they're here every day.
Yeah.
So in 2020, in August of 2020, I started a job working from home because I couldn't afford a babysitter. So that was like a blessing. And here we are in 2023, and I'm still home every day during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've spent the last 3 years of my life with him every single day.
So it's going to be a different aspect for you when you move to your hometown, right?
Well, it's going to home state.
Home state. Different town.
We were trying to look for places to live in our hometown, but, you know, there's 1,200 people in the whole town. There's not a whole lot of places to rent or anything like that. You
right.
know? And we're not in a position to buy at the moment, but so we're looking anywhere from, you know, my hometown all the way up to where the job's at. It's about 45 minutes worth of driving there either way.
Okay.
So it depends on where we find, you know. I don't know how you guys measure distance in New York, but we measure everything in time.
Yeah.
We don't use miles.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say the same thing. Like, to get to my in-laws, it takes about 30 minutes. I don't go, it's about 24 miles. I just go 30 minutes. 30 minutes drive. Yeah. I just go by the drive time. And I know some people do it by song length, you know? That's like, whatever, a Korn song and maybe a Slayer song in there. Who knows? You know, like somebody throws it in there as a mishmash. So like, that's how you get there. You don't even go by miles or time. You just go by music. And that's sometimes cool, right? So you can listen to a whole album and get to like, Geneva, New York.
Right. Yeah, we do that with the kids sometimes. Man, you were in the shower for an entire Slipknot album. I don't know what you were doing in there, but I'm sure there's no hot water left.
Right, exactly. Especially after a whole Slipknot album. Subliminal verses, probably.
Yeah, something like that.
That's a good one. That's a good album. I like the album.
That's a good album.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. I know you got to probably go, though, man. I don't want to hold you up. I know you're probably, he's got to get his egg salad sandwich going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's got to get something.
Yeah. Little Sambo action. Ooh, some knucks on the camera. You got to do that.
Nuts. But yeah, man, it's been awesome having you on. Like I mentioned earlier, we try to do these competitions and do big things with Ghost Media Entertainment. Right now, with the move and everything going on, I'm heading out to Kentucky on Monday. Won't be back until it's 2 weeks, which I'll have to talk to you about because I had asked if you were interested in taking over some interviews at that time.
Yeah, I could probably have a hand and some help in there.
Awesome.
Yeah, I could probably make some time for some things in there. You know, I don't mind helping out here and there, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But yeah, I really wanted to shout out this Deathcore Disney competition. I keep postponing it because life gets in the way.
Always does.
So the official final date is going to be March 16th, Deathcore Disney. Basically what we're doing is we have fans submitted their favorite Disney song in their style, whether it be death metal or metalcore, any sort of metal. They submitted those. Right now we only have 8 videos, which is more than enough. First prize is a spot on Total Death Fest over in Spartansburg, South Carolina, April 7th and April 8th, with $500 worth of traveling expenses that we are paying for. Second prize is a free song EP mixed and mastered by David Dominguez, who's worked with Papa Roach, who's worked with Power Man 5000, a whole bunch of bands that we grew up with. And then third prize is $150 credit to Devour Designs. They do amazing work. And we're just super excited for all of this. So yeah, March 16th, we don't have a time set yet. We're still working on that with Musical Misfit to see when they're available.
Yep.
But that's going to be the date that we do it.
Dude, that's awesome, man. It's good things. It's good stuff that you're doing over there, man. And we got Mickey in the shot. If you haven't already, please go check out our Facebook page on the M-Bomb Effect. Share, like, and follow. And then head on over to our YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, and smash the bell for all of the good times. That's what we try to do here on this show. Thank you, man, for coming on with us. Dustin, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you not only allowing me to come on your show, but to also be on our show as well. Appreciate the company.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Mickey wants to say bye, I guess.
Yes. Mickey's always got to say bye, right? He's got to say hello. He's got to say bye. He's got to make sure everything's in order here for Mr. Disney.
I suppose he wants to say goodbye
yes.
to you.
Hey, take it easy, man. Good seeing you. Thanks for being on the show.
You didn't see him a lot, but I'm sure you heard him quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. He's getting his first break here in the podcast world. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's cool, man. Again, thank you for coming on. Hey, dude, good luck in all the stuff that you got going on. I know it's going to be a lot going on, but you have to understand that this is the best thing that's happening to you right now at this moment, and you will get to where you need to be. I know it's going to be a little bit stressful with the move and all that, but it will be worth it. I guarantee it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this job, I've never made this amount of money. It's triple what I make now, so I'm super blessed to even be in this position. And we get to move back home towards family. So, like, it is 100% better for our life. It's just trying to find a home and starting a new job and moving and all of that aspect with five kids and starting into a new school 3/4 of the way through the school year. You know, it's just a big ball of stress, but I know we'll get through it. We always do. We're a tough family.
Absolutely, man. Now, you'll be all right, dude. And again, thank you for coming on. We will see everybody live on Saturday here at, it's 6 o'clock Eastern Eastern time, 6 o'clock PM. I don't know. I know it's a little different with the time zones, depending on where you are in the country, but hey, thank you for showing up here, man. And thank you for all listening and tuning in. We will see you live on the next one. This is the M-Bomb Effect. Bye.
Bye.
The M-Bomb Effect.